Selling poll, you plebs need a meat tax, claims millionaire old Etonian food czar Dimbleby. By James Dellingpole on June 29, 2021. Britain's food czar Henry Dimbleby has warned that a meat tax may be necessary in the future to save the planet, even though it might cause riots. Great. Just what we all need. A multimillionaire old Etonian child of privilege. Scion of that quintessentially establishment BBC dynasty the Dimblebys. Lecturing us that our meat needs to be made more expensive because. Reasons. Look, I've known Henry Dimbleby for years and he's a perfectly nice, decent, well-meaning chap. We cut our teeth as journalists at the same newspaper diary. Then Henry went on to found the Leon chain of takeaways which do posh fast food, and which he recently sold out for many millions. I don't begrudge him his financial success, I'm sure he worked hard for it and the food at Leon is very good. But I'm at a loss as to how any of this renders him remotely suitable to decide how much you and I should properly be paying for our burgers or our chicken breasts. Asking Henry Dimbleby whether or not there should be a levy on the price of meat is a bit like asking your cat whether or not you should buy more Bitcoin. The fact that Dimbleby has been granted the fancy title food czar, if only by the Daily Mail which is, of course, totally on board with this nonsense, is neither here nor there. No more does it make him an expert on the environmental impacts of meat than, say, a shiny crown with crypto cat and red lettering would suddenly make your feline a Bitcoin expert. It's not that Dimbleby is a stupid person. He was a Newcastle scholar at Eton and studied a proper, hard subject, physics at Oxford. But having spoken to him on various occasions about environmentalism and climate change, I know that he buys into the establishment narrative. I imagine, for example, that he believes the sinister Malthusian David Attenborough to be a model nature TV presenter who tells us nothing but the truth about global warming and the plight of the polar bears. This doesn't make Dimbleby in any way a hateful person. Merely representative of lazy upper normie thinking. Where correct opinions are a way of establishing status and showing that you belong. Which is why, presumably, he got the food czar job in the first place. Because he could be trusted not to rock the boat. But think, for a moment, of the implications of what Dimbleby is trying to tell us. He is saying that the environmental impact posed by meat consumption in the United Kingdom is so great that it's going to have to be curbed through punitive taxes. Really? And where is the credible evidence that this is either necessary or that it will make the blindest bit of difference? And I don't mean, obviously, evidence in the form of computer-modeled projections by party pre-activist scientists who have been lavishly paid for their policy-driven evidence-making. I mean hard data that genuinely, incontrovertibly, persuasively justifies the UK government stepping in to drive up the cost of our groceries and compelling us to eat less of something, meat, which is good for us and which we enjoy. The real reason Dimbleby has been chosen to parrot this nonsense is mentioned further down in the Daily Mail article. Earlier this year, Mr. Johnson unveiled plans to slash the UK's greenhouse emissions by nearly four-fifths in a decade that would require cutting meat and dairy consumption by a fifth. Average meat consumption currently stands at 70 grams a day. According to the NHS, so reducing this by a fifth would equal 56 grams, approximately the weight of a chicken breast. This means that someone who has meat for every three meals could only do this twice a week. Similarly, the average Briton would need to shave a fifth of the average milk consumption down to 16 milliliters a day, roughly 3 teaspoons. Well, bully for Boris Johnson and his globalist controllers' green agenda. But this isn't a worldview that any normal person in Britain actually shares. Partly, it is the deluded, hair-shirt preoccupation of a few Extinction Rebellion rabble-rousers. Mainly, though, it is the obsession of the globalist elite and their ongoing campaign to strip away all our freedoms and immiserate and impoverish us all with their Great Reset. Klaus Anel Schwab's World Economic Forum, home of the Great Reset, has a splinter group called the Eat Lancet Commission whose job is to persuade us that the days of eating farmed animals are over and that we must move towards lab-grown meat and insects. Here's a taste. As the below chart shows, the main change to many Western diets is going to be in the consumption of red meat, cutting back to only 14 grams a day, and just 30 calories, which equates to about a mouthful of a typical sirloin steak. Starchy vegetables, including potatoes and cassava, a staple in African countries, are limited to just 50 grams a day, while fish, which is such a big part of Japanese and other East Asian diets, is limited to 28 grams. A future where you only get to eat the meat equivalent of a mouthful of steak a day, it sounds like hell, doesn't it? That's because it will be hell, and unfortunately, we are way down the road to it already. Stories like the one about the Food Czar's forthcoming report on meat taxes are what is known as seeding. They plant in the mind of the MSM reading public that there is something perfectly normal about the government deciding how much meat you eat and deciding how much you pay for it. Putting a friendly face to this nonsense, he founded a posh fast food chain. Looks a nice chap, familiar surname too, gives this hateful, anti-human, Big Brother policy a veneer of respectability. Let us not be blind to what is going on here, though. This is part of a war on meat being waged in the interests of a globalist elite that cares nothing for our traditions or our freedoms or our simple pleasures. It saddens me greatly to see someone like Henry Dimbleby, who has made his fortune out of gastronomy, lending his name to a grimly authoritarian anti-meat project which will only make ordinary people's lives more miserable, more constrained, less rich, less free. You'd think with a background as privileged as his, Dimbleby might be aware of the concept of noblesse oblige. But apparently all he got from Eaton and his Bullingdon Club dad David, more's the pity, is Nanny Knows Best. Well, I can assure you she doesn't, especially when she rips off her wig and reveals that underneath she's a bald, sinister control freak called Klaus Schwab. James Dellingpole is the host of the Dellingpod podcast. You can hear him finding out more on the war on meat in this episode with Professor Frederick Leroy.